By the way, this is the first day of spring. Hallelujah. That's right. So that probably means what? Just about another 2 months of snow, is that right? we're getting closer to summer. What do they say? I hear this about, well, usually more April every year. I hope summer falls on a weekend this year. And what are some of the other ones? It's yeah, that's right. Hay muchos dichos, lots of little sayings like that. Well, listen, why don't we go ahead and get started? Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the awesome, glorious privilege of being able to study your word. Lord, we thank you that your word does more than just satisfy our intellect, our reason. But Lord, it satisfies our soul. It feeds us. It challenges us. It corrects us at times. Lord, it transforms us. And Lord, we ask that this morning, Lord, that you would do your will in every one of us through our time in your word. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we've been doing a series on letting our light shine. And we've been looking at the importance of just wherever we are, whenever we are, that our lights will shine. And we've especially focused in on the home. We've focused in on a little bit, we're going to be talking actually a little bit more today at work, at school, everywhere. And it's important that we let our light shine. In fact, it's our responsibility, it's our calling. The last few weeks, we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about creating an atmosphere in our homes in which our speech builds one another up rather than tears people down. We looked at Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, about how we need to have that heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We need to be, that should characterize our lives. Last week, we talked about obedience, and we talked about four absolutes for marriage. So we've just sort of been kind of jumping around different themes. By the way, I would really encourage you, if you were not here last week, to listen to the podcast on that. You can do that in our, just check our Emmanuel Fellowship Facebook, our website, iTunes, you know. Anyway, it's available several places. Okay, today we're going to look at something that just doesn't affect our homes, but especially at work and at school, but also in our homes. So let's take a look at verse 17, Colossians 3. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Have you ever thought about that? Everything we do, we're to do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what does that mean? Well, I think maybe a good way to put it, to do it with all excellence. In other words, whatever we do it with excellence. We do our very, very best. Now again, that's at home, work, school, whatever. We do it for his glory. We need to be thinking, how will God be glorified in what we do? See, too many times we kind of think of, well, here's my Christian life, and here's my home life, and here's my work life, and here's my school life. But God sees it, no, it's one life that we have. And we need to be consistent across the board. And whatever we do, at work, if you're pushing a vacuum cleaner, if you're watching the kids, if you're doing homework, whatever you do it for his glory. And you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the second thing it talks about here is to give thanks in everything. You know, our whole disposition, our whole outlook on life needs to be one of giving thanks in every way. If we did those two things, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks in everything, you know what? It would change the world around us. because people would want to be around us. They'd want us working for them. They would want to be around us, and they would want to jump into the act. And that's part of our testimony as Christians. It's part of letting our light shine. Sadly, the normal situation for most people, including Christians, is that we do what we can get away with. We do the very minimum. So if we're at our job, we kind of think, okay, what's the least that I can do and still get paid? Or what's the least I can do to kind of get through this class? Or whatever it happens to be. And we tend to complain about things all the time. We are a complaining generation. Actually, we're a complaining race. The human race loves to complain. And we complain about things that don't even really matter that much. You know, most of the things we complain about don't have any eternal consequence. Well, I'd like for us to kind of look a little bit further in Colossians 3. Let's look at verse 22 through 25. Now, this section is addressed to slaves, but most Bible scholars feel like it was written really in a way to all people who work for somebody else, including even if you're a slave. It says, slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do you work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. When I first got married, I was 20 years old. And I started working for the U.S. government at a safety office. It was I was doing environmental type things, taking air samples, water samples. And but it was a government job. And I worked there for 3 years before I went into the ministry. And, you know, it didn't take me very long to kind of learn the way government works. In fact, the phrase that we would hear is, oh, it's good enough for government work. And so if it was a half a job done, oh, it's good enough for government. And that's the way I was, I'm not sure if it's that way now. I suspect it probably is. But at least when I worked there 30-something years ago, that's what was modeled for me. And you know, and there's a lot of office politics, and there was competing for recognition. It was kind of a messed up work environment. And I read across this passage, verses 22 to 25, and I just felt convicted that I'm not really working my job as unto the Lord. I'm kind of doing what's good enough for government work. You know, I was doing what I could get away with. And the Lord convicted me about that. In fact, I even memorized this passage. And I started trying to put it into practice at work. And I'm not saying I did a perfect job, but I probably did a good enough job that people started noticing, because everyone wanted me to work for them, for their particular projects, which actually presented kind of a problem because the politics kind of focused in on me a little bit. But after about, 6 or 8 months, they called me in and they said, listen, we want to offer you to finish up your college education, which was about 2 years, environmental science. We will send you to college. We will pay for it all. And we will actually pay your salary. And because we feel like you are a good worker. And now, about that time, I was sensing that I was called into the ministry. So I said no. And but I think it kind of shows that people notice when you try to do the very best you could. And you know, something else, it changed me. Because before that, it was like, Monday morning already? Where did that weekend go? You know, it's already time to start. And I felt like if I'm doing it to the Lord, there's got to be joy in it. And I actually started enjoying my government job. Because I just felt like there'll be opportunities for me to serve. And I would start, I mean, God just began to start showing me little things like, so-and-so, they're only doing their job halfway. Why don't you try to get yours done first and then try to help them out too? And I would do that, and I won a lot of friends that way. But it was from the heart. I wasn't just doing it just to do it. It was because God said to do it as unto the Lord. And if we're going to be lights in the world, a major place that we spend our time is at work. And we need to be letting our lights shine. Now, I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying that people won't take advantage of you at times. They will. But we try to think as if we try to live as Christ would live if he were doing that. And in this passage, it says a lot of things. It says to serve not with external service. In other words, make it look good on the outside. Let it be something from the heart. In fact, it says with sincerity of heart. That means you're not faking it. You're doing it. It's about 3 feel, not Chuck, not, you know, heartily from the heart or from the soul. I think there's, we're having a little bit of problem here, right? Heartily, that really literally means to do it from the heart or from the soul. In other words, we put everything into it. If Jesus were to kind of walk in here and say, listen, I need a volunteer, someone who could kind of take, you know, help me unload something from the car, all of us would be out there trying to help, wouldn't we? That should be our attitude at work because we're doing it unto the Lord. In fact, it says, our reward, it talks about our reward. Our reward comes from the Lord. And it also talks about there's consequences for not doing these things. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. In other words, I'm not doing it for my employer. I'm doing it for my Lord Jesus Christ. What would happen if Christians around the world took that attitude at work? Well, first of all, everyone would be probably breaking the laws in that they would probably kind of saying, wanted, Christian worker, you know. And the government would kind of say, no, you can't do that. You can't discriminate or you can't be partial. But people would want people who serve the Lord. If they said, well, I should probably let you know I'm a Christian. And they'd say, that's great. I want you to come work. How much do you want? We'd get pay raises. We would, most important, people would want to find out what it is that makes us different. And we would say, it's Jesus Christ living inside of us. Ephesians 6, verse 6. There's a parallel passage, and it says, not by way of eye service, it's talking about serving those who are our masters, or sometimes we kind of think that's the way our bosses are. Not by way of eye service, as men servers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It is the will of God for me to serve at work from the heart. Have you ever thought about that? That's right. Not by just doing what looks good. not as men pleasers. You know, a man pleaser, you can always tell, right? If you've ever had someone work for you and you feel like, I think they just do this really nice when I'm around. You know, you can pick that up. In other words, it should be something from the heart. Now, practically, let's kind of give some examples here. What we're talking about is wherever we are, we do our very best as unto the Lord, because it really is. Now, if I'm doing something for the Lord, I'm praying about it. I'm praying for grace to do the very best job I can. I'm trying to do it with joy. I'm trying to do it with thanks. You know, I'm praying for His power to work within me. That's the way I should be doing my job. Now, let's just think about some of the venues that we need to do our very best. How about at home? We have lots of women who have small children. Are we watching our kids? Are we caring for our kids as unto the Lord with all joy and thanksgiving? That's what we should be doing. How about doing housework? How about you men, you're fixing something around the house? You know, a leaky faucet. Or you need to help your wife out or something, so you're pushing the vacuum cleaner. Are you doing that with joy? How about preparing meals? How about cleaning up after meals? That should be what we should be doing all the time. Unto the Lord. You know? At home. At work. You know, in other words, we're looking for ways to do something better. We're not shrinking back from extra assignments. In fact, maybe we're even looking for extra assignments. We're being thankful. We're our relationship with others. We're creating a joyful atmosphere. Remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Remember he was taken, put as a slave under, who was his master? Who remembers? Potiphar, right? And he started off as kind of the low slave on the totem pole. But you know what he did? It says he did everything he just did with excellence. He put his whole heart into it, even as a slave. So Potiphar, he was no dummy. He kind of said, well, why don't we let Joseph do this too? And why don't we let him do this? And within a few years, he was running all of Potiphar's household. He was running his business because he was so faithful in it. Well, most of you probably know the story. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he ran away, and she grabbed his garment or something, and he kind of said, this Hebrew slave's making sport of me. So Potiphar was upset, threw him in jail. He was put in jail for doing what was right. And instead of being bitter, instead of being like, wow, that's what I get for trying to, you know, do my best, he didn't do that, did he? He didn't wallow in self-pity. But you know what he did? He started doing the best he can. Now you think, in jail, how do you do the best you can? Well, I don't know, but somehow he did. So much so that the chief jailer didn't do everything because Joseph was doing it for him. Now, I don't know what he was doing. Was he cleaning out the jail cells? Was he... was he coming up with better ideas for how to run things? I don't know. But here he was a prisoner, and he made the most of it. He thought, well, if I'm a prisoner, I'm going to at least do it with excellence. And that's what he did. And in fact, we know from the story that he was even giving counsel to other people. You know, he was comforting them. You know, he would kind of, you know, there was a couple people who had been thrown into prison. He kind of said, why are you looking so sad today? Which I thought was always kind of a silly question. I mean, if you're in jail, I think I'd be looking sad, you know. But he was joyful. He was a person giving thanks. And you know what happened? You can read the whole story, but God exalted him because of his attitudes. And he eventually ended up running not Potiphar's house, but Pharaoh's kingdom.
the whole kingdom of Egypt. And I wonder if he had not been, you think, how did he train himself? I mean, here he was in jail, he was a slave. How could he be trained for something like that? He was trained for something like that by just doing the best he could in whatever situation. If he was a slave, he ended up running his master's business. If he was in jail, he ended up running the jail, even though he was a prisoner. That's an example. So we're at home, we're at work. How about at school? Sure. We do the extras. We finish assignments. We make it easier for our teacher to teach. You know, in other words, we serve the Lord, and everything we do as unto the Lord. How about within the church? Of course. It could be setting up chairs. It could be taking chairs down. It could be watching our children, teaching a class. When it's your turn to teach the class or do the nursery, are you doing it with excellence? Are you thinking, this is, you know, oh, it's my month to teach Sunday school, the 3 and 4 year olds. You know what? I'm going to make the very best of it. I'm going to do an extra good job as if I'm serving the Lord. Because you are serving the Lord. You know, Friday night, for various reasons, we ended up not having someone to watch the children for the Spanish-speaking Koinonia. And I ended up calling someone. They're actually on their way to the Koinonia meeting. And she's not here. I'll tell you who it was. It was Alejandra. And it was like, oh, I hate to kind of ask someone to watch the kids. And there are about 14, 15 of them at the last moment. But you know what? Alejandra's response was, sure, tonight? Okay, yeah. I'm on my way right now. And I thought, that sure was easy, you know. But you know what? She was doing it as unto the Lord. Now, I didn't talk to her afterwards. You know, she's not here today. Maybe she's still recovering. I don't know. But, she's with the 3 and 4 year olds right now. Okay, that's great. Okay, see, I haven't even seen her. She's serving. But you know what? That's the way we should be doing. We should be doing whatever we do as unto the Lord. Whether it's at work, at home, at school, within the church, anywhere and everywhere. We have an attitude of a servant like Jesus did. And we serve with joy. And we give thanks constantly. Even if things are going bad, you know what? You can usually find something to give thanks for. And if you do, it's something that kind of spills over. People like a joy-filled, pleasant atmosphere where people are giving thanks. They don't really see it that often, but they enjoy it when they see it. And you know what? We should be giving the people who work around us that experience every day. It should be more than just words. It should be our attitude. We serve with joy. So whatever we do at home, at school, at work, within the church, we do with excellence. Now this is pretty radical. I mean it's in the scriptures, Old Testament, Joseph, for example, New Testament, but it's something we don't really talk a lot about in Christian circles. But I believe God is calling us to let our lights shine. And a major part of where our lights shine is at work, but also at home, at school, wherever God has us. Okay. Now, in order to do this, we must reject the world's way of thinking. A couple weeks ago, actually it was in Colossians 2, we were talking about the elementary principles of the world, just the way the world does things. We have to kind of reject that, which means that we have to consciously think, that is not what I'm called to. Jesus Christ has called me to something else. Okay, here's some of the things we have to kind of reject, and we could probably make a much longer list. We do the very least we can get away with. again, whether it's at work, at home, you know, at school, whatever. And that is the way many people think. What's the least I can do and still get my paycheck? You know, another thing we have to kind of reject, complaining about the boss. Probably those who are bosses around here are probably saying, preach it, preach it. No, complaining about the boss or talking about his or her back, behind their back, or about policies. You know, I know I'm in the ministry, I'm in full time, but you know what? I remember very well when I did work for somebody else. The tendency is we all want to complain, right? You know, it's just part of going to work. You complain. But we must be different. God's called us to be different. Now you say, well, what if there's a legitimate complaint? You know, if there's a legitimate complaint, there's a way to approach it. You go, first of all, you don't bring it up in front of everybody. You bring it up to your boss. Hey, listen, something I think might could be done a little bit different. Something I want you to, you know, you might want to consider. You do it humbly. You do it with respect. In fact, most places of employment have a way to make suggestions or to express things that aren't going well. Find out, you know, how to do that. Same thing with policies. And if you have to complain about someone, complain to the Lord about it in the right attitude. Say, Lord, I'm just having a real difficult time with Roger, you know. You know, he's just very difficult to work with. You know, I can't ever please him. Will you give me the grace to be able to respond in a godly way? And while you're at it, if you could change him, that'd be helpful, you know. But he may not do it that way. He may want to change us first. And that's okay too. Okay? Another part of the world's way of thinking is we cheat on the time we've been committed to. In other words, the boss leaves, and what happens? Everyone kind of relaxes, you know, kind of takes a break for a while. That's cheating on what we've committed to. Really, isn't it? Right. If we've committed 8 hours of work, let's give 8 hours, you know. Let's don't take off 30 minutes early or kind of go take a walk or go out to the car and take a cat nap or something, you know. Whatever we do, let's give our all. So we're not cheating on the time. We don't blame others for our mistakes. You know, that's very typical in a work environment. When something goes wrong, well, I think the previous shift did that. Or, you know, or the people who worked here before me, you know, this is what they did. Another thing we must reject is this attitude is we don't want to ask questions when we need to because we're afraid if I ask questions, I know what will happen. It's just going to make more work for myself. You know, they're going to tell me a harder way to do it. And but you know what? We have to kind of reject that. Let me kind of give a... Another thing we reject is justifying a lack of integrity because we're at work. I've talked to people, they've said, yeah, well, you know, I can kind of, you know, oh no, I've never stolen anything, except for maybe at work, but that's at work. Well, wait a minute, it's still at work, you know, or lying. Well, you know, I'm at work, I can, you know, if I don't tell the exact truth, it's okay, you know, or making someone look bad or something. You know, there's a, you know, it's easy to compromise in our integrity at work. Okay? So these are things that we just need to reject. Again, we're talking about letting our lights shine at work, school, home, everywhere we are. Now, we need to realize we live in a very corrupt world. We do. Everything is. You know, politics is corrupt. Government's corrupt. Military's corrupt. Private business is corrupt. We're corrupt, You know, we just kind of tend to think in terms of what's best for us. And yet, we've been placed in this world to be different. And that's one of the greatest opportunities we have. You might say, yeah, but, you know, it's real dark where I work, spiritually speaking. That's good, because you're called to be a light there. That's an opportunity. You know, you're right. God has not placed us in a place where everyone's like us and trying to live the Christian life. If it was, he'd probably kind of take us out and put us somewhere else. Sometimes I hear people kind of say, even other pastors here in the area, we just live in a real difficult area right here. It's just really hard to serve the Lord here. Well, great. That's a good opportunity. You know, I'm not so sure that's really true. To me, I think it's a great place to serve the Lord, but great people up here. But, you know, we can tend to complain about everyone around us. But that's an opportunity to let our light shine. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things... By the way, what does all things mean? All things, no exceptions. All things without grumbling or disputing. Why? So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's the generation we live in. Among whom you appear as what? Lights in the world. You know, so if you're serving in a place that's kind of corrupt, I'm kind of using that in a very general way. It's kind of dark spiritually. There's a lot of complaining. There's a lot of grumbling. Maybe there's a lot of talk that you hear that's not real edifying. That's okay. God's given you the assignment to be a light there. Whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And it's interesting, he says, how's the way that we're going to appear as lights in the world? He says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Because if he knows that we're doing that, we must be giving thanks. We have a different attitude, and that is going to be contagious. That's one of the ways that we let light shine around us. So how do we begin? Let's go back to Colossians again. Colossians 3. Verse 16. This is the verse that precedes the verse that we started with. A couple things here. First of all, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Did you know that what we're talking about is impossible if we do it ourselves? We can't do it ourselves. But if we let the word of Christ dwell richly, a lot into our lives, it will change us. God's word changes us. It does. It's living. It's active. That's why with the story I told a little earlier, that when I worked for this government job, God spoke to me about this passage in Colossians 3. What did I do? I memorized it. You know? In fact, I've memorized a lot of verses if God speaks to me about it, because it's a way of getting God's word deep down inside of me. But so you study that passage, you meditate it, you memorize it. Maybe this might be a good passage for you need to do. And I let the word of Christ richly dwell within me. I know I've kind of shared this before, but you know, many times it talks about meditate on God's word. And that word meditate in the Hebrew, which, let's say, like in Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, where it talks about meditating on God's word, it comes from the word, it's one of these picture words, that we get the English word ruminate from. Ruminate. What's the word in Spanish? That's right. It's like when a cow chews the cud. In other words, Some of you may not know this, but a cow has four stomachs. Did you know that? And so a cow, they'll take some hay or straw and they chew it. They chew it and chew it and chew it. Then they swallow it to stomach number one. Then I guess after the digestive system does its business, they actually regurgitate it back up into their mouth. I know it sounds a little gross. And they chew on it some more. Chew on it, chew on it. By the way, that's the process of ruminate. I think camels do it. Cows do it. There's other animals too. And then they swallow it and it goes into stomach number two. And guess what? Then it comes back up. Chew it, chew it, chew it. That's the word you get for meditate. Then you swallow it into stomach number what? Three. And you keep doing it. They really chew that, don't they? Well, that is the word when it says in Psalm 1 and Joshua 1 to meditate on God's word. That's what we do. We chew on it. Then we kind of swallow it. Then we kind of spit it back out. We kind of chew on it some more. That's what it means to let the word of Christ richly dwell inside of us. If we're going to be lights in the world, if we're going to do some of the stuff we've talked about today, it's going to take meditating on God's word, letting it dwell on our hearts. So that's one thing. Another thing this verse says, it says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. By ourselves, it's hard to kind of do what we've been talking about, well, this week, last week, the week before, really any of these weeks, because God's word can be difficult at times. We're human beings. We get so distracted. And so one of the reasons for a church, for the body of Christ, is where we remind one another. We teach and admonish one another. That's why people are always getting together with people during the week, to encourage us in things. But it's not teaching and admonishing one another like condemning one another. You need to be a better light in your workplace. No, it says we teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, I'm not so sure if we literally need to be singing to one another. You probably don't want me singing to you, you know, in admonishment and teaching. But I think one thing is clear. We do it with a joyful heart, with a thankful heart, don't we? In other words, hey, we're all in this together. We all need to be lights in the world. We need to be lights in our workplace. We need to be a witness. We need to be giving a testimony. And then I think the third thing that I'd just like to kind of mention, and it's not from this verse, but we begin by making a commitment that we are going to be different at work. We're going to do everything as unto the Lord. We could do our very best. We're going to do it with excellence. Amen.